Hello, makers. Welcome to the Making Conversation podcast, where... Oh, damn it, Ashley.
What? I didn't do anything.
You smirked. That was...
I'm smirking because I have an eye twitch. I haven't an eye twitch for a week, and like I'm a little worried it's going to come in camera.
You need to eat a banana. Hello, makers. Welcome to Making Conversation, a podcast where we chat all about making the app and the act. My name is Jen, and I'm head of marketing for Making. My pronouns are she, her, and my Making app username is Knit Pearl. It's been a little bit since Ashley has joined me on the podcast. I believe the last update was October of 2023.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've gained a few new friends around here, if we're talking about listening people and YouTube people. And we've also had a lot of crafty new friends join us in the Making app. So I figured we could each kind of give a tiny intro of who we are, because, you know, maybe not everyone knows who we are.
Of course.
Who are you?
Okay. I am Ashley. I'm the founder and CEO of Making. I am also a mom of three boys, and I live in Boise, Idaho. You'll hear this more on other episodes, but my background is not just in craft. Like, I've been in tech for over 15 years now, which is what has led us to where we are today with the Making app. And yeah, there's so much more to both of us. I highly recommend people go back and listen to some of the past episodes that you and I have done, because we've dug a little bit more into our stories. But yeah, I'm like one of the people that helps lead Making alongside this beautiful person.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm Jen. As I said, I have been with Making for almost 3 years now. And no, over 3 years. Oh, time flies when you're having fun, you know? I have been knitting for almost 20 years now, and, you know, really kind of started ramping it up, I don't know, maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. I started making things more than just like socks and scarves and hats, and like I knit this sweater. So when Ashley reached out to me and was like, hey, do you want to do marketing for this app for makers? I was like, yes, please. Thank you. I will join the team. I live in Seattle. I have two adorable rescue dogs and a cat that just turned 22.
It was funny you made all those birthday posts that week, and I did not realize that I was like birthday buddies with Bella.
Your birthday buddies with my cat?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and Coulson.
I know. Coulson is an Aries. It all makes sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so is Bella. She screams a lot walking around the house.
She doesn't scream. Aries aren't screamers.
I'm just saying she has a fiery personality. That's
fire, yes. We can bring the fire. Absolutely. I'll own that. Oh, man. There's so much that I'm like so excited about. I was telling Jen I have this like eye twitch, and it's a result of probably lack of sleep. My kids have been really sick the past week, but it also is because there's so much going on behind the scenes, and I'm so excited, and I'm having to like kind of keep it all internally in our team. We can't share all the things yet, but I will, like, what can I share? You know, I like to like spill tea when I'm on these calls. I'm like,
I know.
Nice spill today. Okay. Well, I'll leave it really broad. I can't say specifics, but very, very exciting developments on the Making side. In terms of, we already have an amazing team, but we have some more amazing people joining. And that will be a bit quiet until like we make a big deal about it. And these are people that will help me lead Making into the next steps of what it is. We have some really cool partnerships coming up. These have been incubating for a long time, but I think instead of partnerships, they're really collaborations. So we have been working on some really exciting collaborations coming up. And we're literally like so close to shipping the final marketplace with physical good capability, like publicly, like days. At this point, the only reason we haven't done it is because there's so many moving pieces. You got to make sure, like, you don't mess shipping up and you don't mess taxes up. And, you know, and so we're testing, like really fine tuned testing internally these parts.
Yeah, I think that that's like something it's, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time. I feel like we can definitely compare it to what we do as makers and crafters, slow fashion, slow stitching, like really being very intentional about each thing. It's kind of like when you're first learning how to knit a sock and you're like, all right, I can do this. I can cast on in the round. I can like knit in the round. And then you get to turning the heel for the first time. And you're like, there's a lot more steps here than I thought. And not that we didn't know all of these steps, but like, you want to make sure that they're all coming together nicely, or you're going to have a hole in your heel. And we don't want a hole in the heel of our marketplace.
Yeah. We're not going to call it slow tech, because that's not a phrase we want to coin by any means. Yeah. But what I will say is that, you know, we're about to move into a space where things start moving faster. Like, we have to respond faster. There's things that we need to build faster. Like, we're scaling up our team because of that. There's other things that are coming down the pipeline to, you know, resource that. But the growing slow over the last couple of years, the time that we've had to take is proven more and more, specifically over the last few months, 100% the right route that we had to do. I've talked to a lot of companies. You and I talked to a lot of companies through our consulting, which, by the way, like, since we last talked, you and I also launched our own consulting firm,
right,
called MKNG, which is, you know, a play off of making. But that's been really eye-opening. Like, we work with clients in craft, we work with clients in tech, large, small, all over the place. And we get this really unique view into what people's experience and landscape has been over the last 4 years, like through the pandemic, and their growth and the challenges that they've encountered. And I will say, on one end, it's been cathartic, because I'm like, oh, we're not alone. But on the other side, I realized like how many right decisions we made that felt very counterintuitive. Sometimes doing things slow is really the right way to do it. And as an Aries, I don't move slow. Like, I move fast, and I move through walls and push them down. And I have had to really reassess the approach and question it every step of the way. I was on a walk this past weekend with someone who's become kind of a mentor to me. And he understands business, understands the landscape of tech and consumer. And specifically, we were talking about the last 4 years and how many companies have had to shut down, for so many different reasons, but predominantly like scaling up, in craft because of demand, which touched a lot of people, not just craft, through the pandemic. And then, you know, when that demand kind of goes away or slows down, like being in a real bind. And we, yeah, our approach has been steady. And I would say that that's created a really solid foundation for all the steps we're about to take that we can't really talk about, but that are coming. Like, I have never felt more solid nor this excited in a long time. In 2019, I was the most excited about making that I had been, like, since starting the podcast in 2014. And then 2020 just kind of changed so much. And now, almost daily, I realize how excited I am about what we're doing. And not just like, oh, I should be excited about this thing, but like actually really excited. And the things that get me excited are being in engineering calls and like things are actually happening and things are shipping and we're solving problems. I love being in conversation with all these different people that we're working with and understanding the problems and like how I can better kind of fit in those places to help them achieve like their purpose and their goals. And so I feel like I'm being utilized. And honestly, like when you move slow, sometimes you feel underutilized. And so, you know, being utilized feels good. Being valued feels good. So we're in a good place.
I want to talk about one of the features that I'm super excited about because, you know, the marketplace is coming. Mm-hmm. Where you can sell supplies and finished goods along with PDF patterns and, oh my God, what's the word? Services. Mm-hmm. There it is. Services. I feel like, you know, people who currently sell supplies and finished goods, we've heard from them. They're very excited. But this kind of gives an extra layer to a marketplace that I think is really something that a lot of people are going to enjoy for many different reasons. You know, we've been calling it internally, we've been calling it de-stash or pre-owned because, you know, not everyone's going to call it a stash or a de-stash, but essentially it's a way for people to search through the yarn and fabric and supplies and et cetera that you currently have and be able to sell it or give it away and have somebody pay for shipping.
People are familiar in the knitting and kind of fiber space around de-stash. Like people call their yarn and their fabric stash. But if we really kind of just broaden out of that, you know, singular spectrum of craft into like all craft, we all have supplies. We all have art supplies, craft supplies, whatever it is you want to call it, that we either don't use anymore or we upgraded or we got out of that craft. And, you know, a lot of people sell this stuff on eBay. They might sell it on Facebook Marketplace, but that requires someone that wants to buy it to kind of look in all those places. And often when you're looking to do something or looking for a certain supply, I don't think it's very intuitive always to go look at those places. Sometimes you do. Like I've gone on eBay, looked for certain paint supplies and things like that. Particularly if they're really expensive, like if I don't want to spend full price. But I think what we're trying to do is kind of take out this whole like de-stash and more change the conversation around like buying pre-owned, you know? So it's just like buying anything that's been pre-owned, but like there's actually a specific place for you to do that. And so how it works in, because I know some people are familiar with it on Ravelry or other places, like how it works with making is as you will make a store just like anyone else. It doesn't matter if you sell, you know, things that you made and you also sell them on Etsy, you'll have a store. But if also you're just not a business person, but you have a bunch of supplies that you want to sell, you'll create a store on making. It'll be attached to your profile and you list products. You can take photos, you list a product, and there'll be essentially like a little checkbox that you check that says pre-owned. And what that allows someone looking for those items to do is eventually filter down to only seeing pre-owned items. Those items will always show up in any search, both new and pre-owned, but then you'll be able to actually toggle and like look at just pre-owned items. And so what you were pointing or what you were kind of drawing attention to is this idea of like, what if I just want to give them away for free kind of thing? We can't offer a free part of this only because making has transaction fees that we have no control over. And so we are charged a certain amount per
Stripe has transaction fees and we're using Stripe.
Exactly. And so we incur transaction fees no matter what the transaction is. And so how I, again, like to kind of look at this is really making things even more accessible if you want to, like, you know, sell them for whatever you want. But like, if you just want to give them a new home, like, you know, sell them for a lower amount that makes them really accessible and move on from them. I'm excited for that feature too. Less on the yarn side. I've gotten rid of so much yarn over the years, but more on just like, yeah, art supplies that I'm just like not using.
I am not one that has a huge stash, but I do have a, you know, I have a couple skeins that I'm like, why did I buy that color? You know, that type of thing. But I'm excited for the accessibility part. I'm excited for there to be like one space for makers. I mean, how many points in this app that we have built has something where we're like, okay, there might be a place for this to do this thing, but it was not built with makers in mind. Mm-hmm. And we've had to like make things work for us, right? Like, how many times have I seen people be like, join my Discord for a de-stash party, or like, here's my Instagram stories, DM me. And it's like, or you could just put them up in the making marketplace and somebody could just click a few buttons and pay shipping and however much you want to sell it for, and you print out a label and send it to them. Like,
yeah,
chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Love it.
So from day one, like one of the things we talked about with making is discoverability, trying to find what you're looking for. And it's hard in craft, not because there is any lack of places to look, but because there's so many places to look, and the places that you do go to look at, it's often you have to wade through so much stuff, and you have to kind of, you just end up spending so much time looking for that thing. Whether it's, you know, a particular button that you need for the sweater that you made, or a particular yarn, or, you know, even a paint color or a brush and something that fits in your price range and this kind and the size and all the things. And so that is the big problem that making is tackling and will continue to tackle like over time in different ways. And when you think about the user experience of looking for a supply, or even looking for something that's handmade that is pre-owned that you want to sell, like, which you can also sell in making. The only requirement is that it's handmade, or it's a tool or supply that's used to make handmade. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get that down more, but I just want to be really explicit. Like, there's no... Yeah. Digital, automatic, like made overseas, sent to you. Like, no, it's the original version of what we, this other company that we sometimes mention. I already mentioned it once in this conversation. People need to know, like, we're going after Etsy, like stake in the ground. We're going after Etsy.
You better watch out.
Yeah.
We're coming for you.
Go onto the making app and look for what you're looking for first. You know, that's where we want to get to. Instead of having to go to 10 different sites and do Google searches and trying to figure out all the things that you places you could possibly look for whatever you're looking for.
Do you have any other updates that you want to share with everybody?
I think I actually just want to shout out first to our engineering team. We have built a team of amazing engineers, like primarily women, which is pretty badass. They have worked together. Like, no one works full time. We've talked about this before. Everyone works for equity. No one works full time. And the ability for them to rally together, coordinate builds, problem solve, like every single one of the people on our team has just come together like so beautifully and very remotely. Like, none of us work in the same city. Well, you and Abby live close, but So rosemary for life. She's never going to listen to this. Teresa is number one volunteer to problem solve, which I love. Mm-hmm. Abby built the web CMS. Like, you're all about to see that there, which I can talk about that in a second. Joe, you're great. Like, we're going to get to start sharing stuff from the app because of you, which is awesome.
Yay.
And Adam, who just joined, is great. The CMS. Yeah, I think that's the only other feature that, I mean, there's so many things coming. Again, can't talk about. I know, it's annoying. I shouldn't even mention.
So many. I'm like, you should see my marketing planning. It is.
I know.
It looks like the Charlie's wall from It's Always Sunny.
One of the biggest feature requests that we had when we first launched the marketplace last year was the ability for people to load their products from the web, because, you know, it's not like super convenient to do it from your phone, unless you're a mom and like you work from your phone a lot, like I do. But, you know, mm-hmm. having a desktop experience for uploading products is ideal. So Abby has built that out. And with the launch of the full marketplace, you'll be able to load products from the web and manage your store. The web app, like the full web app marketplace, won't launch for a little while, but that is coming in the future. But for now, we just wanted to like improve that experience for sellers. So,
and this is going to be not only great for makers, but for people who appreciate handmade crafty things,
yeah.
handmade art. That's a question that we get a lot too, is like, is this just for makers? And it's like, no, like how many times have we been tagged on TikTok when people are like, what has happened to Etsy? Like, I can't find a damn handmade thing if I try. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I am so excited. What are you working on right now besides building an app and leading the charge?
I am only painting these days. That's all I do. I'm not knitting. Mm-hmm. I'm not sewing. So I actually just sold this piece. I've just been painting a lot. I have painting there, painting there, painting there. And there's more on the ground over there. I had kids and I just kind of forgot about all the things. And I really focused, my making was really focused around them. It was like things to make for them, sew for them, knit for them. I think a lot of women fall into that. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's like you feel very inspired. You want to just like make all these things for your kids. But I do think for me, like I lost myself in motherhood for sure. And I think that that happens a lot. But what I lost was my sense of purpose for my own making. Not necessarily like the joy of it. It was more like making mm-hmm. things for me. And so, I started painting again a couple of years ago, but then really seriously, I was just going through a lot last year, and I started painting again and using it as kind of a way to process like a lot of things. And it's been really fun. And I just sold like my first large scale piece, which is really exciting and unexpected. I've never put my art up for sale before. So that was fun.
Hooray.
What are you making?
I forgot the name of the top. Let me pull up the making app and go to my studio. It is called the Tumble Tea, and it is by Lydia. And I'm forgetting Lydia's last name. It's my second Tumble Tea. I will put up a picture here. And this one I am knitting with. I'm really excited for this yarn for many reasons. First of all, it's Junk Yarn and Kemper. They are amazing. It's just really pretty. I don't know, all the colors. But my favorite part of this yarn is the fact that it's called Side Boob.
I love that.
It's the colorway.
What creativity.
So I am very excited to knit with Side Boob. It's going to be real cute. I'm also working on a couple of other projects, but they're not sitting here with me. Here at Making, we like to uplift makers and voices. And I don't know, it's a part of our DNA, a part of our values. I wanted to start bringing in a little segment when you and I chat to highlight different people and businesses that are like living our values and spreading them around even further within this world of craft that we are in. I have been following along with Common Threads Press for a little while now. I discovered them not too long ago. They are a small press that was founded in 2019, and they specialize in radical histories of craft and making. From their site, I pulled this. We are inspired by the history of independent grassroots publishing that uplifts the culture, activism, and politics we don't typically see in mainstream publishing. We aim to give space to voices that explore the relevance, importance, and role that craft has and continues to play in our cultural and creative experiences. Their founder is Laura Mosley, pronouns are she, they, and Laura lives in Cambridge and has a BA in history of art from the University of York and enjoys natural dyeing and quilting. So also a creative person, but this recently came up on their Instagram and I actually purchased it.
That looks cool.
It is one of their zines and it's called Stitching Freedom: Stories of Those Who Have Used Embroidery in Prisons and Mental Health Hospitals. It's meant to highlight that stitching and really any craft that has kind of been looked at as like a women's craft or something that women leisurely do and make it more about what it really is, which is storytelling, meditation, and sometimes simply making art to help you get through all of it. I pulled this quote from the intro to the book. Embroidery can embody contradiction, with each stitch simultaneously perpetuating rage and inspiring calm. I will link down below, so go follow and support. Thank you, Common Threads Press, for everything that you do.
If you're subscribed to our newsletter, sometimes I send out these little notes or essays that I write on like particular topics. And I typically just kind of let the topic come to me of like whatever's going on, often like in my life or something with making particular that kind of fuels this. It's really about like connecting to this massive group of people that we've built over the last 10 years as like a real person. And I get vulnerable in these spaces, not because it's comfortable, but because it's just like, I don't know another way to be other than honest about something that I'm going through or something that, you know, I'm seeing someone else experience. And what I've learned early in this podcast, like 10 years ago, was how much that connects us to each other. And one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately and have been started writing one of these essays on that I don't know when it'll be done, but is about fear. Fear runs so much of our experiences and it pops up in so many of our experiences. My littlest was homesick today and I took him on a little bike ride and I was thinking about like some of the big things that are coming up for making, some of the big things that are coming in my life and the things that have happened over the last 10 years, but really over the last few years and how scared like I've been like stepping into some of these experiences, like terrified. And a few weeks ago, I had coffee with a friend and I just straight up said, like, I'm terrified. Like he had kind of challenged me on a couple of things that I was thinking about in business. And he said to me, that's okay. That's like a natural feeling. And then I had called up my friend, Marina, who some of you know. I remember saying, like, I'm just scared to make the wrong decision. And she said to me, And we know this, right? Like, we know these things. We've heard these things hundreds of times. She's like, there's actually no wrong or right decision. She's, I hear Bella.
Hold on one second. Okay. Bella's.
Speaking of the yelling that you were
she
talking
about. She said what she had to say. Yeah, she just walks around the house doing that.
Oh my God.
It's fun.
I remember I said to her, I feel like I'm in resistance. Like, I've already made the decision, but like, mm-hmm. I'm in resistance to like the next step or, you know.
I can't find my swim trunk.
Swim trunks? Are you going swimming?
It's like 75 or 70. Like,
oh, well, we're having a very different weather experience today.
Anyways, after I told my friend that I was terrified, he said, I would dive in. And I went for like a 3-hour walk afterwards and just really felt into why I was so scared about certain things. And it's funny because some of these things that we're scared of are actually like quite small, but they feel like incredibly strong inside of you. They don't necessarily have to be big moves. Like, they can be small things. And I called Marina after my walk and I kind of told her like what I had kind of dialed into about these things. Cause they're actually like quite big decisions. And she said to me, like, there is no right or wrong decision. Again, I know this, but she's like, you do just have to make one. And then you get taken down a path. And it's interesting because I thought I had already made the decision about these things. And in whether it's business or personal or whatever it is, often we kind of make the decision, but then we don't actually like continue. Like, we don't actually make the decision. And it reminded me of back when we first came up with this idea for Making App in 2020. And I spent all summer like working on a deck, working on kind of like due diligence around the idea, working with Emily on design concepts and things like that. And I remember the fall came and someone asked me, like, well, are you going to do this? And I'm like, well, I am doing it. And they were like, you're not. And I'm like, I am. Like, I've been doing all this stuff. And they were like, well, you actually need to make a decision. Like, are you going to do this or not? And I remember in that moment, I sat and I was really, really scared. I knew what it would take to start a startup. I knew the energy. And had I known the path that we had been on for the last 3 years, like, definitely would have been way more terrified. For me, what I am learning, whether I'm taking my kids skiing on a mountain that I haven't before, and I send my 7-year-old off to like go ski, and like that the fear that is in there, you know, or just the fear of like making the wrong decision and starting hurting someone's feelings, or the fear of like, you know, what are the next steps with my business? Fear is a natural reaction, but I have to step back from it and I need to look at it as not an indicator of whether I should or shouldn't do something. Like, fear is actually just noise. And I need to tap into what it is that I want. Like, what is it that, like, you know, what is the decision that I'm comfortable making at this point? And it's okay if it's scary. And so, anyways, I wanted to mention that because today, like going back to when I was on this bike ride with Amos earlier, I just thought about how many people have acted out in courage and made pretty big decisions in their life and in their business, especially over the last 4 years, and how I just want to acknowledge like how scary it is. And often we don't acknowledge that. We don't acknowledge the bravery and the courage that it took for people to make really hard decisions in their life and actually like doing it. It just goes unrecognized. And it's not actually really sexy to say, like, I'm fucking terrified, you know? And so, you know, doesn't matter if it's a business decision or a personal decision, like, for making it. Because if you don't make it, you're making a different decision and you will go down a path, but sometimes the one that you're most afraid to make is the one that you need to make, because it really is going to bring change into your life that is really beautiful. And we are no strangers to hard decisions at making. And I'm thankful for this person also, like, coming along, and that this is my moment of gratitude. I'm jumping ahead here. We'll just move right into this moment of gratitude that we do at the end of every episode. But I'm grateful for you, Jen. You know, you came on to this right when we started the app, but after Making had been around for a while, and you just gracefully came right in, and you have become an absolute rock in my life on so many different levels. And I think back to our trip in New York a few months ago, and just, we don't get a lot of one-on-one time. And again, there was a lot of scary, big decisions that were made then together. And the one thing that you have provided me with over the last 3+ years has been a consistency in your belief. Like, you've never lost belief in Making. And you've never lost belief in me. And I think that is the greatest gift that someone can give you, is believing in you. Because sometimes you don't always believe in yourself. But if someone else believes in you, like, you find yourself again. And so, I can't believe I made it through that without crying. But I love you.
I mean, me too. I'm for me. Like, how are we That's not both weird. Crying right now? So. But I think that those hard decisions, those big decisions, they're always something that is connected to something that you have so much invested in with your heart and your soul. And I think that that's where my belief in Making and in you and in all of this comes in, is my heart and my soul is invested, and my gut says that this is, like, something that we need to be doing. You know, we need to be doing it for makers, to give people the opportunity to feel seen and feel a part of something. And so I am grateful for you in all of the things that you just said, and I won't say anymore because I'm not going to cry on the podcast today. I am also grateful for Jess, the founder of Flock Fiber Festival and the owner of La Mercerie on Bainbridge Island, Washington. Flock tickets are on sale. So if you are a fiber artist, you do not want to miss the weekend. It's absolutely amazing. I'm going to link it down below. Eventually, we're going to head over to Bainbridge and chat with Jess and kind of go around the new shop. They just took over the old Church Mouse Yarns space on Bainbridge. So that's beautiful. But I am grateful for Jess because she is somebody who has believed in what we're doing since we started chatting. She understands it. She gets it. And she is also a big champion for community and sees that what we're doing is important and why we're doing it is important, because we're doing it for the makers. And I'm excited to start announcing what our partnership's going to be like this year for Flock. Jess, I'm grateful for you. So, yeah. So, like, we've been talking about this thing called the Making app, and if you're not on it, you should go to themakingapp.com and download it. Join the community. So much more is coming soon, like, so much more. Again, we haven't even touched the surface of what is happening. soon. So much is happening. Please refer to Charlie with the wall and the yarn on the wall. Yeah, subscribe to this podcast because we have a lot of fun making it. And you'll hear a lot more coming soon from different makers. And I guess that's it.
That's it.
Go to themakingapp.com and join the community. Yay. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Ashley.
Bye. That's a wrap. I say we call it. So you
That's a wrap, baby.